Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazegna. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
Welcome to Live with Passion. I'm so glad that you decided to tune in, or perhaps you found the program. I want to tell you that I am Father Cedric Pazegna. I am a passionist priest and a religious, and we have a wonderful dedication to the cross of Jesus, to the passion of Jesus. We meditate upon his passion and his love for us. And we passionists are located in 60 countries throughout the world and in many different places here in the United States. This particular program is being broadcast to you from Houston, Texas, in this beautiful chapel that we have here at Holy Name Retreat Center in Houston. But I wanted to let you know about one of our monasteries in Scranton, Pennsylvania. I'm on TV in Scranton. There's a Catholic TV station there that broadcasts my program, and I've met so many people there in Scranton. And I wanted to tell you that every year they have what's called a novena to St. Anne at that monastery in Scranton. Thousands of people come. They are bused from Pittsburgh, New York, and the surrounding areas, and thousands of people come to every day of that novena. It's a very beautiful. There's five services a day, about 1,000 people at every service. Well, I had the privilege of preaching at that novena, and the people were everywhere. What you're about to see is the 8:30 service in the morning. It was the first service of the day. People brought their lawn chairs and they sat out in the hot July sun. But they came because they wanted to hear the Word of God. And they came because they wanted to worship God. So we're going to go to the recorded live preaching now. Stay tuned, and I pray that this will inspire you and touch your heart. I wanted to tell you about a sister who was dressed in her habit, and she was on her way to do some ministry with hospice at the hospital. And as she was driving to the hospital, her car ran out of gas. And she remembered that she had just passed the gas station, so she went out and went back there and said, "Do you have some gas?" He said, "Yes, sister, we've got plenty of gas. The only problem is we have no container to put it in." So she thought to herself, and she thought, "You know, I know what to do." And she went back to her car and she popped the trunk. And in the trunk she had a bedpan. And she took the bedpan and they filled it full of gas. And then she took the bedpan and started pouring it into the car. So here's this nun in full habit pouring the contents into the car. And two men happened to be standing there, and they saw the whole thing. They see this nun in full habit pouring the contents of a bedpan into the gas tank. One turns to the other and says, "If that car starts, I'm becoming Catholic." So I want to tell you some stories about hope this morning. And the reason is because I want to talk about the scriptures that we had at Mass today. All three readings were so beautiful. Solomon praying for wisdom. And we hear about the pearl of great price in the gospel. And then we hear in the second reading that God makes all things work to good for those who love him. So let's talk a little bit about hope. I heard a story about a wise farmer who was very wise, but he didn't have a lot of money. In fact, he only had one horse, and he had it hitched to a plow. He was out plowing his field, and as he did, the harness to the horse broke, and the horse took off. All of his neighbors come running over. "We heard what happened to your horse. That's bad luck." The wise farmer smiled and said, "Bad luck? Good luck? Who knows?" The next day, the horse came back, and it had a whole team of wild horses behind it. And his neighbors came over and, you know, they heard what happened and they said, "Wow, we heard about all the horses that you have now. That's good luck." And the wise farmer said, "Good luck, bad luck, who knows?" Well, the next day, the farmer's son was up on one of the wild horses trying to break it, trying to tame it. And sure enough, you know, the wild horse was real antsy and he bucked the young guy off and he fell and he broke his leg. All the people come running over. "We heard what happened to your son. You know, that's bad luck. He broke his leg." And the wise farmer said, "Bad luck, good luck, who knows?" Well, the next day, the army came to town and conscripted all the able-bodied young men to go off and fight in the war. And because the farmer's son had a broken leg, he didn't have to go. Now, was that good luck? Bad luck? Who knows? The point of the story is this. We have to look beyond the surface of our circumstances. We have to look into the significance of our circumstances. Things are not always what they seem. Solomon prayed for wisdom, and God gave him wisdom. What is wisdom? Insight into the depths of life. And sometimes things aren't quite what they seem. They may look bad, but with God doing something in it, it can be very good. Or something may look good, and you never know, it may be bad. And I want to tell you, especially those of you who are struggling and going through trials, God is in it, and he's going to bring triumph out of your tragedies. I heard a story about a man who was out sailing one day, and he was out there in the ocean, and a bad storm came. He ended up getting shipwrecked on an island, and nobody was around, and he was hopeless, and he thought he was going to be lost forever. And so first thing he did is he decided to build a little hut made out of some of the driftwood and the dry wood that he found, and he figured he'd build a fire to protect himself at night, so he built a fire next to the hut, and then he went off to find some coconuts. And then as he went off, he came back, and the wind had blown the fire onto the hut. Now the hut was on fire, smoke everywhere. He throws the coconuts down, and he says, "That's it." He says, "God, why did you do this to me?" He said, "First the shipwreck, now this. Can't you help me?" About 2 hours later, a ship comes into the harbor, and he was saved. And he goes to the captain. He goes, "Captain," he says, "I'm miles from nowhere. How did you find me?" Captain said, "We saw your smoke signal." It's interesting, in the Bible, God appears to Moses in a burning bush. You know, and oftentimes when you have troubles in life, don't you say, "Well, I got to get through this fire. I got some fires to deal with, the fire of unemployment, the fire of relationship problems, the fire of having low finances, the fire of having a body that hurts, the fire of growing older." And I want to tell you that the Messiah has come, this is what the prophet Malachi said, to refine us in the fire. So when we talk about something good happening in the fire, what is the good that happened? It was the second reading at today's Mass, that God has predestined us to be conformed to the image of his son Jesus. See, the number one thing that we have in life is not to be happy, folks. And the number one thing, the number one goal in your life ought not to be successful, quote, successful, or to have a lot of money. The number one thing that God has predestined us for is to be conformed to the image of his son Jesus. That was the second reading. I hope you will reread it because it is the most beautiful reading in the Bible. And then we hear God makes all things in our life work to good for those who love him. So again, don't just look at the surface. Wisdom looks beneath the surface to the significance of an event, of the person, of the trial, of whatever you're going through. So good luck, bad luck, when you're going through things, who knows? Remember one time I'm speeding down the highway. It was in California, Route 80, and let's just say I was doing 80 on Route 80. And I'm going down the highway, and I'm going to go play golf. And I didn't know the exit. You know, it was a course I had never been to before. I thought that was the exit. I pull off, and I realized right away, I said, "This isn't the exit. This is bad luck. I'm going to miss my tee time." And I look over to my left, and there's a police officer hiding in the bushes with the radar. I go, "That wasn't bad luck. That was good luck." So you never know what's going on. You know, you got to look to the deeper significance of the events of your life. And sometimes what seems to be bad, God makes turn out for good. Remember, God makes all things work to good for those who love him. I was playing golf one time, and you know, you always look for the trouble, and there was water over there, marshy area on the right-hand side. So I said, "Okay, there's one place I want to hit it." It was a par five. You know, your par is five strokes on that. "If there's one place I don't want to hit it, it's over there on the right." So I lined up a little bit to the left. Ironically, when you aim left, it goes right. You know, it makes the ball slice even more. And sure enough, I hit the ball. I hit it good,
but it just kept slicing right over by the marsh. I took the club, I slam it in the bag, I go, that is bad luck. I go, look what I did, it went exactly where I didn't want to go. So I go over there and I'm looking in the marsh for my ball and I'm, you know, trying to hunt for it. I go, I'm probably going to make a triple bogey on this stupid hole because of this. And I'm looking and I found a ball and I picked it up. It wasn't my ball. Somebody else sliced it over there, cleaned it off, put it in the bag. Looking around, there's another ball, not my ball. There's another ball, there's another ball. I found six balls and none of them were mine. Then finally I find my ball and it was still up on some dry land. I was able to hit it. And I hit the ball and went in the center of the fairway, hit the ball again, went on the green. I made the putt for a birdie. Now, at the beginning of the hole, I thought it was bad luck. By the end of the hole, I had a bag full of balls and a birdie. So you never know what's going on in life. See, sometimes it's the adversities and the trials that will make you focus even more. And God is at work in all the trials and the tribulations. You have to understand that. Remember, the number one purpose of our life is not just to be happy. We all want to be happy, but that's not what God has in mind. He wants us to be happy, of course. But his number one goal and purpose, remember, is that we be conformed to the image of his son, Jesus. And remember how that happens. Oftentimes, it's in the fire. And through the fire, where the purification process begins and continues and ends. And folks, many of you know what the fire is. Of hurting bodies and relationship problems and trials and tribulations. If anybody knows what the fire is, it's people that are in the 12-step program. Now, I live in Houston, Texas at the Holy Name Retreat Center there, the Passionist Retreat Center and Monastery. And we're a mecca for the 12-step program, not just Alcoholics Anonymous, but Overeaters Anonymous and Gamblers Anonymous, Sex Anonymous, all these different anonymous programs. Well, the interesting thing is, a tragedy or an addiction or a suffering like this, actually, oftentimes, most times, for those who will admit that they have a problem and they're willing to face their inner issues, oftentimes what happens is it becomes this great new blessing for that person. What seemed to be bad, an addiction, a bottoming out experience, an unmanageability of a person's life, turns out to be good. And person after person after person that I've talked to that didn't have God in their life, that had forsaken their Catholic faith or forsaken the faith of their youth, have found God through their addiction. You see, was that bad luck when they got an addiction? Good luck? Who knows? And it's amazing how God can turn tragedy into triumph and how trials can be blessings. So maybe you're struggling with an addiction right now. I'll bet you any money, if you're humble enough to admit that you do have the addiction and that you do have some unmanageability in your life and you're not in control of your life, I will tell you right now that God is in this. He didn't give you the addiction, but he's going to work through it to raise you up. And we sing it on the Easter Vigil. Oh, happy fault that merited so great a Savior. Isn't that beautiful? It's the sin, the brokenness of humanity, the original sin, our fallenness that has brought us so great a Savior. That's why we call it Good Friday. And what's so good about a man being tortured on a cross? Well, the good is redemption and salvation and resurrection. That's why we call it Good Friday. Everybody that was there, including Mary Magdalene, would have called it Bad Friday. But we know the good and how God brings good and makes all things work to good for those who love him. I remember talking to a person who was in the 12-step program, and get this, this isn't to offend anybody, but oftentimes some of these people don't go to church, but they still have God in their life because they find God through the program. They surrender their lives to their higher power. And although they may not call God Father like we do and know God in a personal way, they know him in some way. And so God uses the program to touch people. One person told me this, that religion is for people who are afraid of going to hell, but spirituality in the 12-step program is for people that have been to hell. And I'll tell you, even if you're in hell right now and struggling with all kinds of trials and addictions, God will make that work to good because you love him. So I wanted to tell you a little bit about this pearl of great price. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like a pearl of great value. The person finds it, they sell all the other little pearls that they have in their life, and they get that pearl. And wow, you know, we're all like merchants searching for that of greatest value in life, that of greatest worth. You know, women love to wear pearls. Oftentimes when they come up for the blessing, I can see you wearing pearls. And they're very valuable, and they have a lot of worth. But do you know where a pearl comes from? Most of you do. Some of you don't. Little oysters there in the bottom of the sea. And it's sitting there, and it's got a little opening, and he opens himself just a little bit, and a piece of sand, an irritant, gets in there, and he works on it, and he works on it. He hates it, tries to get it out. You know, it's like the irritating relationships in your life, the physical pains and the sufferings, the trials and the tribulations that you have, the stuff that you just hate about life. And he's working on it, working on it, working on it, trying to push it away, trying to get it out, and eventually a beautiful pearl is produced. Same way in our life. Your irritations are invitations to new life. And I love it. Your obstacles are opportunities for new life. Your tragedies, God turns into triumphs and new life. So I want you to understand that when you have all these irritations and these sufferings and these trials and everything, God is at work. Remember what I said about prayer. When you encounter silence, don't think that God isn't there. That's your time to trust God. When you're encountering the hard things of life, don't think that God is punishing you. It's because we're all human and we all have to go through these things. This is the time that we trust God and we show faith and we don't give up, because God makes all things work to good for those who love him. Really quickly, let me tell you this story, because they're giving me the 2-minute sign here. I wanted to tell you about this young man who was studying insects in his science class, and especially butterflies. You know, butterfly is the sign of resurrection. And you know what happens? A little caterpillar will crawl up a tree and spin a cocoon, and inside the cocoon, transformation takes place. Remember what the number one thing God is trying to do? Conform us into the image of Jesus. He's after us being transformed through the stuff of life. So anyway, he's walking home one day, and they had just studied this in science class. He sees a cocoon, and he takes it off the tree, brings it home. He's looking at it, and just at that moment, the little yellow wing starts to come out of the cocoon. The butterfly is coming out, metamorphosis. But I have to tell you, transformation doesn't happen in 1 minute. Change doesn't happen in 1 second. So it took a little while, and how much patience does a little 12-year-old boy have? Goes over to a mother's sewing kit with the best of intentions, gets a pair of scissors, and he's going to help the butterfly to get out of the cocoon. So that's what he does. Goes over, snip, 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 real carefully, snip, snip. Butterfly comes out. Its wings look like all malformed and misshapen. And it comes out, and it kind of flops over, spins around, and dies. You see, the butterfly needs the fight, the wrestling, the struggle with that hard cocoon in order to bring the blood in the body to the wings and the fluid of the body to the wings, so that the wings can be strong and it can fly and be who it was meant to be. The little boy, when he cut away the cocoon, he thought he was helping it, but in actuality, he killed it. And all of us have cocoons. Unemployment. Suffering bodies. Struggling with relationships. Feeling lonely. Having depression. Does God give you those things? Absolutely not. Does God use those things to make you into the image of Jesus? Yes. And he's not going to cut away the cocoon. Why? Because he knows that you need it in order to be resurrected and to be conformed to the image of Jesus. So don't just look at the surface of the events and the circumstances and the people of your life. Solomon prayed for wisdom. He said, the one thing I want is wisdom. And wisdom makes you look to the significance of the events of your life. And today we have perhaps one of the most beautiful readings in the whole of the Bible. God makes all things work to good for those who love him. That's hope.
The Bible says that there are three things that last forever, and hope is one of them. Faith, hope, and love. So hope isn't going to go away. Hope lasts forever. Scripture says that we have a living hope, and we're to be prisoners of hope. And in the future, it'll be hope realized. That's why it'll never go away. So I want you to believe that something good is going to happen to you. That's what hope is. Something good now, something good in the future. And if you believe in hope, if you keep hoping, then you can cope through hope. What that means is that no matter what comes, you're believing that something good's going to happen. So that'll help you to cope. It's a coping mechanism. But more than a coping mechanism, hope lasts forever. We are born again, the scriptures tell us in 1 Peter, to a living hope. Hope is alive. Hope will never die. Scripture says, Paul the Apostle said, hope will never disappoint us. So believe that something good's going to happen. Have you ever heard about Abraham Lincoln? I know you have. He was one of our great presidents. This comes from my book, Live Passionately, by the way. Well, Abraham Lincoln was a great president, but I don't know if you ever heard about his road to the White House. Get this, talk about hope. He failed in business in 1831, defeated for the legislature in 1832, second failure in business in 1833. He suffered a nervous breakdown, wouldn't you, in 1836. Defeated for Speaker, 1838. Defeated for Congress, 1843. Defeated for Congress, 48. Defeated for Senate, 55. Defeated for Vice President, 56. Defeated for Senate, 58. Elected President in 1860. All those years of defeats and failures and nervous breakdowns, but yet there was good being worked there, and eventually he was victorious. And he got elected president. And what I want to say to you is maybe you're going through a defeat or a failure or a nervous breakdown or a hardship or a hopelessness. And I want you to know, keep hope. Have you ever heard that saying? I love to use it. God writes straight with crooked lines. God is the God of resurrection. He took the crooked line of the cross, the brokenness of Jesus on a cross, and he raised him from the dead. That's hope. We could even call Friday, that horrible Friday, we could call it Good Friday because God worked good out of the tragedy of the cross. And God will work good out of your tragedies. God makes all things work to good for those who love him. So that's what hope is, believing that something good's going to happen. And I stand on that promise that God's going to make all things work to good. You've heard the story of Joseph in the Old Testament. I know you have. Remember, Joseph was one of the 12 sons of Jacob, and greatly beloved. Jacob favored him, gave him the multicolored, you know, dream coat, and because Joseph was a dreamer, and he had a dream one time that all of his brothers were going to bow down to him. You know, it's okay to have a dream like that, and it's okay to be a dreamer, but if you have a dream that all your brothers are going to bow down to you, don't tell them about it. Because Joseph made the mistake, he told them about it, and they all revolted, and they threw him into a pit, and they sold him to the Midianites. They were going to kill him, but I think it was Benjamin said, no, let's not kill him, let's just sell him into slavery. Well, thank you, brother Benjamin. And so off he went to Egypt. They didn't think anything more about him. Well, the scripture says something interesting, but God was with him. Well, you all know the story. What happened with Joseph? He got to Egypt. God was with him. He was betrayed, got thrown into prison, but God was with him. Met a baker. The baker told Pharaoh about his dreaming. Went before Pharaoh, told Pharaoh the meaning of his dreams. Took him out. He went from the pit to the palace. Next thing you know, Joseph's second in command. And then there's this great famine over the land. And here come the 11 brothers looking for food. And they come, now Joseph's the governor of Egypt. You know, the gold and the regalia and everything, they all bow down before him. The dream is fulfilled. Now, if it were me, I would have said to those guys standing on either side of me with the swords and the big chiseled chests, I would have said, off with their heads. But not Joseph. You see, when he was in prison, God was working in him. The Bible says that his soul was forged in iron. In other words, he was being sanctified and purified and blessed. That's the good that God was doing. And when Joseph saw his brothers, he said, I am Joseph, your brother. He said, now get this, what you meant for bad, God meant for good. And that's exactly the way it is in life. You know, there may be some people in your life that have betrayed you and thrown you into a pit, abused you, whatever it is. What they meant for bad, God will mean for your good. And in those years of hardship, the years of prison, God will be working in you, forging you in the iron, purifying you, bringing you to something beautiful. Remember, God writes straight with crooked lines. So you can cope through hope, believing that God is at work and that he's doing something beautiful. And remember, hope means that God is working now, but also hope means that we have a glorious future ahead of us, a living hope. And I love to tell the story about the three women who are talking about what they wanted to be buried in at their wake. You know, and the first one said, well, when I'm buried, I want to wear this beautiful pearl necklace in the sign of a family heirloom. And the other one said, when I'm buried, I want to be buried with my wedding ring. It's a sign of my commitment to my husband. And then the third one said, well, when I'm buried, I want to be buried with a fork. They looked at her, a fork? What do you want to be buried with a fork for? She said, well, whenever we'd have dessert, Mom would clear the plates. She'd say, keep your fork. Dessert is coming. And she said, I want everybody that looks in there and sees that fork to know that the best is yet to come. So we have a living hope. And you can cope through hope. God is up to something. He's working for good. And always remember that God is alive. God is the God of resurrection. And no matter what you're going through, you can cope through hope.
We believe you enjoyed Father Cedric's teaching. It is our heartfelt hope that these programs will intensify your relationship with God and you will sense a new surge of strength in your life. Father Cedric has many resources, audio CDs, DVDs of his television programs, as well as several books to help you in your spiritual journey. Please log on to www.frcedric.org or call 321-474-0997. That's www.frcedric.org. Don't just live. Live with passion.